I'm excited because I know Jesus, and I got a revelation this week, and I think it's going to make you excited. Now, some of you are not demonstrative. You know, you don't wave your hands. I used to know here a lady, and she would get a Kleenex or a handkerchief. Let me get this Kleenex here. And whenever she liked something she heard in the service, she'd wave that handkerchief or Kleenex. She'd go, woo! So you always knew when she was excited about what she was hearing. You might need a Kleenex today because I think you're going to get excited about what you're hearing. And please be patient with me. When I start, you're going to say, I knew that. Let's just say it. I knew that. My goodness, some of you have been Christians longer than I've been born. Of course you know the foundation things. But here's what's so cool about God. The Lord told me one time his word is like an onion. And so I thought, how can God's word be like an onion? And he said it's layers. The first layer is good. Then you peel that off, and then there's another layer and another layer and another layer. He said, don't ever despise the fact that you've heard that scripture before or you've read that scripture before. He said, in my word, I said, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. He didn't say faith comes by hearing something new. He just said faith comes when you hear the word of God. So today, you're going to hear the word of God because John and I are preaching. That's all we know to preach. I don't have any stories. I don't have any experiences. I don't have anything with power except the word of God. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Now, we're going to talk about the very elementary subject right there. Oh, go back, honey. I was enjoying my title. The title says, are you sure God loves you? Now, it says in the Bible over and over, God loves you. You could probably quote those to me. God loves you. We're going to go into that a little bit. Go ahead, John. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 says, I'm just going to read the last line. God is love. In other words, the word or the name God could be exchanged with the word love. Now don't let your English American, your American mind and your English language get you tripped up here. We just have one word for love. I love coconut pie, but really I prefer chocolate. I love my car and I love my this and I love my that. But that doesn't hold a candle to how I love my husband. You understand? And that doesn't hold a candle to how I love God. And so we use the word love for lots of uses and lots of reasons. If you went to the Greek, if you became a Greek scholar, you would know there are at least four words in Greek for love. And they kind of break it down. A friend love, a lover, a spouse love, an unconditional godly love. I think the old King James translated that, a lot of times translated it, charity. It's love and giving, not expecting anything in return. That's God is charity. God is love. And so whenever you think of God, the Bible, if we believe the Bible, it wants you to think of love. Now, the way I was brought up, when you thought of God, you thought of judgment. You thought of punishment. I mean, we were told you're going to hell if you don't repent. In fact, you probably need to repent again and again and again. Well, later I joined another denomination. Oh, they were even stronger. Come to the altar and repent, because I'm sure you did something wrong this week, even if it was just a wrong thought. Well, the altars were always full because we could all think of mistakes we had made. God is judgment after all, right? God is a just God. Yes, that's in the Bible. Yes, that's true. But over, bigger than that, higher than that, God is love. And we need to turn our thinking so that when we think about God, we think about this unconditional giving love. Next scripture. 1 John 4:16 says, and this is John the Apostle. Let's just have a little background about John. You know, he was a fisherman. He and his brother James had a reputation. And it wasn't a good one. They were called the Sons of Thunder. Ooh, can't you just imagine them if they had guns? Ready to draw it at any time. Ready for a fight. Ooh, those boys had a reputation. When they came to town, you hid your women and your money. No, I'm making that up. I don't have proof of that, but I have an idea what Sons of Thunder might mean. But they met Jesus, and now they're sons of a different kind of thunder. Amen? Woo! Get my handkerchief up here. Sons of Thunder for the Lord. And you know, John, James and John got a revelation. I mean, he got an understanding of God and Jesus were love. And he began to enjoy that. He said, Jesus, you're my best friend. You're my BFF. Best friend forever. And every time in the book of John, not Matthew, not Mark, not Luke, but the book of John, when John wants to talk about himself, he says, the disciple that Jesus loved. See, he understood Jesus loved him. And so, think about the Last Supper. There they are on those couches. You know, they ate a little different style than we do. And they're lying on those, what's kind of like a chaise lounge, I think. Kind of sitting and laying. And they were eating the Last Supper and going through the ritual of the Passover. And Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me. Oh, they started saying, who's he talking about? Who does he mean? I hope it's not me. And so Peter said, hey, John, find out who he's talking about. Now, why did he say that to John? Because John is leaning over there on him. He had his head over there and is leaning on him. In fact, Jesus could hardly sit because John was crowding him out in his chair. And in the Bible it says, the disciple that Jesus loved asked him, who are you talking about? You remember, the disciple that Jesus loved. Well, that same disciple wrote this verse, 1 John 4:16. He says, we have known and believed. Now, here's the point I'm going to try to make through this whole next 20 minutes of sermon. I want us to know and believe. If I say to you, do you believe God loves you? Oh, yeah, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Do you believe it? Sun's going to shine today somewhere? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's a mental belief, a mental understanding. But John's not talking about the mental. He's talking about in your spirit. Know with your knower. Is there something in your life that you know so strongly you cannot be talked out of it? Is there something? Well, that's what I'm talking about. To know without the shadow of a doubt that God loves you. If you will open your heart and let this happen, it'll change your life. If you will see everything that happens all day long through the glasses of God loves you, it'll change your life. We have known and believed the love that God has for us. I wonder what the next scripture is. Oh, yeah, you know this one, John 3:16. We quote it all the time, or we did as kids, for God so loved the world. And so we mentally said, God loved the world. And it goes on to say, why? What's the evidence? What's the proof that God loved the world? He sent his son to die on the cross for my sin. That's love. You know, who would die for a man? Maybe a good man, you might think about dying for him. You might think about being the substitute. But who would die for a sinner? Who would die for an evil person? only God loved the world. Good, bad, evil. He died for them all. Think of the worst person. I guess in history, the worst person I can think of immediately is Hitler or Attila the Hun or other terrorists or other people in history that were so cruel and so evil. And this verse says that God loved them because they were in the world. I cannot understand that with my mind. I like who I like and I don't like who I don't like. And I give to who I like and I don't give to who I don't like. That's Elizabeth. But Elizabeth is changing to be like God so that I might not like a person, but I love that person. And we're all, you're all experiencing that and have been experiencing that. I think I should look at my notes here. I forgot my magnifying glass. But we talk about love, and I just want to, I had a good friend, I still have him, and he said, we're supposed to, he said, the world loves things and uses people. We're supposed to use things and love people. And that stuck with me all these years. I don't remember how many years ago he told us that, honey. But it's a blessing. And so often we love things because they can't hurt us. The thing about loving people is that they can disappoint you. They can turn on you. They can speak behind your back. And they can do evil things to you. We speak against the government because they can raise the taxes. And we're not very trusting of our leaders because we have experienced that those leaders have not always done the right thing. They have not always been on our side. And so we're suspicious. We're careful. We're cautious about people. But I don't want to talk about people today. I want to talk about the love of God. The love of God. Loving God. God. Now let me see what else is in my notes here. Praise the Lord. You like this so far? In my life, I have plenty of evidence that God does not love me. I have plenty of evidence. The microphone won't work. God must not love me. I left my phone at home. God let me leave my phone at home. He didn't remind me. God must not love me. I've had deaths in my family. People die too young. I don't think God is love because my 6-year-old daughter died. That's not love. If I were God, I would not have let her die. I've got lots of experiences and evidence that God is not love. But then the preacher gets up here, which today that's me. The preacher gets up here and says, the Bible says God is love. And in your mind, you could say, well, that sounds good. But how about this experience in my life or that experience? How about when my electricity was cut off when I didn't have the money to pay the bill? How about when my child was sent to prison or sent to jail because of stupid decisions they made? Where was the God of love then? Do you see what I'm saying? We have plenty of experiences to say this is not true. But. Now you know that word but means it negates everything that's been said. And so I'm telling you that God is love. And so preachers get up here and week after week, God is love, God is love. And in your mind you think, well, it's not love to let children starve. It's not love to take children and make prostitutes or soldiers. We hear all these atrocities throughout the world. Where's the God of love now? And so in our mind, we don't really believe. We don't really agree. And so when you stand up here, I stand up here and say, have faith in God. He's going to heal you. You say, sure. I don't believe you. And I'll say, no, it's in the Bible. It says right here in the Bible, whatever you say, whatever you speak, you can have. And you say, I don't believe the Bible. Because I don't believe that first thing, that God is love. I don't believe God loved me. I think he loved me enough to die for me, but it stopped there. Because I have this problem. I have this situation. I have this circumstance. And I don't see the love of God there. I mean, I'm just being transparent. I'm just being honest, right? And so you have to come to the place to make up your mind to know, go back to that one, please, know and believe. Will you know and believe even against all the circumstances? It's a big decision. Will you know and believe that God loves you? The love God has for you, even in the face of these circumstances. That's called faith. That's called trust. Let's go ahead to the next. There. Back. Now, here's the thing. If this is the last scripture, then this is the last one we get to because it's so important. The thing is, when you look at these circumstances and these situations, these experiences, they bring torment. You just ask someone that has lost a loved one, how do you feel about them? How do you feel about their death? And they say, well, I still grieve. I still mourn. I still hurt. They're tormented. And I'll tell you why. The basic thing is if we don't believe God loves us, we go down two streets. We go down one street that says, I got to take care of myself because God's not going to take care of me. I got to find my own wife or husband. I've got to take care of my children. I've got to make a living. I've got to be such a good driver that I don't have a wreck. I've got to keep myself pure and clean. I've got to earn my way to heaven. And that's a pride lane. The other lane, and I see people jump back and forth from lane to lane. The other lane is a fear lane. If God is not going to take care of me, I'm afraid. I'll say it again. If God is not loves me, is not going to take care of me, I'm afraid. I'm afraid someone will break in my house and hurt me and steal from me. I'm afraid for my children. My sister-in-law was so afraid, she would not even go outside of her house. I wanted to take her somewhere, and she said, okay, but don't drive on the freeway. I'm afraid to be on the freeway. Fear, it consumed her. She would call her grown children on the phone and say, are you okay? Are you okay? I'm afraid you had a wreck. No, Mama, I'm okay. She was consumed by fear. And that's what fear will try to do, is consume you. And fear brings torment. Let's read this, 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love. That means God. But perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect or settled or developed in love. Do I have 1 John chapter 2? Oh, Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15 is talking about the devil, and it says, through death, Jesus might destroy the devil who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who, through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. In other words, that fear will paralyze you. Fear will bind you. Fear. Can you go with me on a vacation? No, I'm afraid. I'm afraid no one will feed my animals. I'm afraid you're not a good driver. I'm afraid I don't have enough money. I'm afraid I won't have a good time. You understand what I'm saying. You get it. Fear keeps us from doing anything. There are people that are afraid to come to church. I'm afraid that that pastor will step on my toes. I'm afraid those people won't like me. I'm afraid someone will sit in my seat. Fear will consume a person. It torments them, the torment. And the root fear is death. I am afraid to die. Why don't you go out and go to Cancun and get in that thing? It looks like a kite. You sit in a chair and it zooms you all over the ocean. No, I'm afraid. What are you afraid of? I'm afraid of heights. I'm afraid I'll die is really the root. Well, I can't even think of another example. But the fear of death rules all the other fears. Fear of death. They were subject to bondage. Amen? Okay, let's see. So what I'm trying to get to is, well, let me just take this one side road. Some people are afraid of pain. I don't like pain. I don't want to go to the dentist. I don't want to have my blood drawn. I don't like pain. I don't even like thinking about pain. I don't want to get in a fight. I don't want someone to hit me. I don't want to fall down. I don't want to have pain. And then sickness or disease or crippledness, that's pain. That's a fear. I'm afraid of those things. And so the devil will keep people in bondage to the fear of these things. Amen? But what I'm trying to say is we have all these opportunities to not believe that God is love. If God were love, I wouldn't have to be afraid. So it's time for us to change our thinking. What's our next scripture? Mark 4:38. Jesus was in the stern asleep on a pillow. You know, the disciples, storm came up. You know the story. And the disciples awoke him and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" That's a big deal. Because that's what your mind says to God. I can't pay my electricity. Don't you care? My child has run away from home. Don't you care? My child is involved in drugs. Don't you care? My neighbor looks suspicious. They've got tattoos all over their body. And I think they're carrying a gun under their coat. And they scream and yell at all hours of the night and play loud music. I'm afraid of my neighbor. Don't you care? Move my neighbor. Amen? And so the temptation is to say, "Don't you care?" And then on the other side we say, "I trust you, Lord. I'm praying about this. I trust you. I'm praying about this." Well, what are you praying? You need to be praying that you'll change to believe his love. If he loves me, he'll take care of me. Say that with me. If he loves me, he'll take care of me. Say it again. If God loves me, he'll take care of me. That's how our thinking has to change. I've got some situations in my life that I'm praying for the situation to change. And God has been dealing with me all week, and he said, "You need to believe me. You need to believe my promises. You don't need to pray the situation will change. I'll change the situation if you'll believe me. Believe that I love you. Believe in me." Amen. Do you see what I'm trying to get to? So often we believe in God for salvation. Take me to heaven when I die. Thank you, Jesus. But I'm going to have to take care of myself in this road because I don't believe God will do it. I'm not worthy. I didn't earn it. I don't deserve it. He can't control people. He gave men a free will, and their free will is against me. I want us to change. I started this week. You'd think I'd have started sooner. Praise God. The thing that hinders our prayers is this doubt and this unbelief. It says in Mark 11, 22 through 24, "Have faith in God," or "believe the love of God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Now I want to show you something. Whatever things you ask when you pray to the one who loves you, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. Believe that God loves you. Believe that God is taking care of you. Now we're taught to say, well, maybe God will and maybe God won't. Could you please give me scripture for that? It's not there. Some people say, well, you never know about God. You never know what God's going to do. And they quote this verse, 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But you see, they don't read verse 10. That's verse 9. You'll never know. Verse 10 says, but God has revealed them to us. Eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, but the Spirit of God has told you. You can know what God's doing. You can know what God's going to do. You can be assured of his love. You can depend on him. God's plan is in Psalm 23. The Lord is my what? I shall not what? That's pretty clear. We could say, love is my shepherd. The God of love is my shepherd. I shall not want. He, love makes me lie down in green pastures. That's like saying lie down on a Serta mattress, or lie down on a Sleep Number bed, or lie down on I can't even remember the names of those, Beauty Rest, green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Sometimes my soul needs restoring. I've been hurt. I've been disappointed by people, not by God. And he comes in and heals me and says, look to me and I'll take care of the rest. Believe me. Believe my love. Believe that I love you and I'll take care of the rest. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I'll fear no evil. For you're with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I knew of a missionary once, and a man was facing him with a gun, and the man shot him point blank, you know, close as me and Marvina. Shot him 5 times in the chest, but the bullet never pierced his skin. Why? That missionary, that man, believed that God loved him and God would take care of him, and it wasn't his time to die or even be hurt. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely, 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 surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, so nobody can sneak up on you. No evil can sneak up on you. No evil can try to hurt you. No evil is going to succeed. Will it try? Sure. Cannot succeed because your God loves you. I'm shouting. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's not just when I die. That doesn't mean I'm moving into the church house. Don't worry. It means I'm in the presence of God all the days of my life, even forever. So here's my final point, which I told you at the beginning. God loves you, and he wants you to depend and believe that more than you believe your past, your experiences, your circumstances, or even your future. God will deliver you because why? He loves you. God will deliver you because he loves you. God will take care of you because he loves you. He said, cast your cares on me because I care, or I love you. Amen. So I encourage you to be like me, not in every way, but in the way of believing the love of God. Don't worry about problems. God loves you, he'll take care of it. And I announce that all the time. God, you love me. I'm trusting your love. I was caught in that trap with the disciples. Don't you care? Don't you care? If you cared about me, you'd wash the dishes. If you cared about me, you'd scrub the floors. If you cared, God does care. God does care. And he'll take care of everything. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask that this word of revelation that you gave me, I didn't know it before. I didn't understand it before. But now I have heard it, and now I am remembering it, and I am meditating on it. I am thinking about it, and I am letting it go deep in my heart to remember all the time that not only do you care, but your great power will deliver me. Your great power will do something about it. Your great power is on my side as I'm on your side. We praise you today, Father. I ask you to bless every person here. If they have needs or they have need healing or pain in their body, I ask your love to rush in and fix it, to change it. If they need finances, oh, God of love, pour finances upon them because they're tithers and they're givers. Oh, Father, if they need healing, pour power and love on them. Jesus took the stripes on his back so we'd be healed. So we receive healing now in Jesus' name. We determine to praise you this week so that our bodies are strengthened in your power because you love us. We praise you for this in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.